it certainly is a blessing to be with you again. I pray that you've been thinking about what we've been talking about the past week or so. We've been talking about atonement, the sacrifice being made, and the reconciliation that it brought, and redemption. All these are wonderful graces that we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some questions, though, about this. How do we know that our sins have been forgiven? How do we know that? Well, a lot of people question whether the ultimate question a lot of people ask is, how do I know if I'm saved? How do I know? And some people get so caught up in that, they start to wonder whether somebody else is or not. And they judge whether somebody else is not, or whether they think they are or not. So, reconciliation, you know, has Jesus atoned for their sins? You know, we get caught up in thinking that somebody is hell-bound because of what they do. Surely God didn't save them. Well, He might or He might not. I don't know. What I really want to get you to start to ponder and start to see is how do we put all this into perspective, this atonement, this reconciliation back to God, this redemption? The answer lies in justification. Y'all see that? The Bible speaks about so much of what Jesus did for us. Amen. And there's so many different terms used to describe what He did for us. Now, there's a lot of people that have trouble with this doctrine, or with this subject, not the doctrine, well, the doctrine too, but the subject of justification. Now, there's a lot of people out there that would say the right things or true statements, but not apply them correctly. How can a man be just with God? That means, we talked about it last week, reconciled. How can a man be reconciled to God, or be declared just in His eyes? Well, we talked about that only comes by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, but justification, I don't want this to be too involved or too complex, because it's not complex. Jesus atoned for your sins. Yeah. He bridged the gap between God and man. He made man right in the eyes of God by reconciling you back to God. That means you were reconciled or made right with God by God's estimation. God was the one that was the aggrieved party, and you had needed to be reconciled to God. God don't need to be reconciled to you.
No.
Now, Bible speaks about that a lot. It's the theme of the whole Bible. But justification is spoken of a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of different ways that we are justified. Job asked the question. Well, y'all remember Job, don't you? Y'all know what happened to Job. Job was plagued with the loss of his sons and daughters, all of his children. He lost everything he had. Satan was given leave to touch his, afflict his body with boils and sores. So bad that he scraped off the sores with shards of a pot. That's nasty, isn't it? Job sat in the dust, and those three comforters came. They weren't miserable yet. They sat with Job for 3 days without saying one word. Boy, I'd like to have a friend like that, wouldn't you? When they were doing that, they did exactly what they needed to do. They were with him. They were consoling him without ever saying a word, just by being there. The problem started happening when they started talking. And they began to tell Job that, Job, there's something that you've done that caused God to bring this upon you. They told him that there was something secretly, some secret sin or something in his life that caused God to do that to him. And Job said, no, there's not. And they kept on hammering Job with it. And in the process of hammering Job with that, they said a lot of right things about God, but they didn't apply them correctly. Now, my sermon is not about Job, but Bildad asked Job in chapter 8 and verse 3, doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? That's a great question. And the answer, Bildad had it right. God does not pervert justice or pervert judgment. He doesn't pervert any one of those things. But he applied it wrongly by thinking that, Job, you did something that caused God to do it. Now, he applied it wrongly. God doesn't pervert those things. And Job says, in chapter 9 and verse 2, I know it is so of a truth. That whole chapter 8, Bildad's accusing him of some secret something. They did it through the whole book. And Job said, I know it's of a truth. God does not pervert justice or judgment. He said, but Bildad didn't answer the question how a man could be just with God. seeing that all men are sinners. And Job asked the question, he made a statement first, I know it's of a truth. I know that God doesn't pervert justice or judgment, but how can a man be just with God? How should man be just with God? Made right. How's it made right? Now, what does just mean? Just is a word that is consistently used throughout the scriptures. People, a man's called a just man or a just woman. Things are declared just, and to be just means that you have been declared righteous or declared just. In the end of a judgment, or that's the sentence, or not sentence, but it's a declaration handed down by a judge. When the verdict has been reached, it is the verdict. This man is declared just. Now, it's not only a declaration, but it is a confirmation that a man is showing or exhibiting or that he is righteous and such as he is and ought to be. So when a man does something that exhibits what he wants to be or demonstrates that he is, why does a dog bark? Because it's a dog. That's why dogs bark. People try to bark, but they can't bark like a dog. You know why? Because they're not a dog. Dogs bark because they are dogs. You understand that? They're exhibiting when they bark that they are dogs. It doesn't make them a dog, but it exhibits that they are a dog. And in barking, they justify themselves as being a dog. Now, that's another way that you can apply this word just or justification or justified. That's one of the definitions of it. It also means to render one righteous or such as he ought to be. So there's a rendering one to be that or making him to be that. There's the exhibiting of one that he is that, and there's the declaration of one that he is that. You see those three different things. That's what the word just or justify or justification means in the scriptures. Any one form of those, I mean, or it can't be all of them all at the same time. Now, the question still remains, how can a man be just with God? We talked about it last week. We're going to bring up some different scriptures today. But a man is just. How can one know that one is just before God? How do you know? Well, the Bible tells us how it happened. In the how do you know that you have a part or lot in the atonement, reconciliation, and redemption? It's called justification. That's how you know. Now, the Bible tells us how we have a part or lot in this matter, how we're just before God. And it's not just by one way. I want you to understand. Or not by one term. Let me say it like that. There's more than one thing that made you justified in the eyes of God. Your ears perking up yet? I hope you ponder about this stuff. I want you to turn your brain on when it comes to godly things and His Word. I don't want you to be intellectually laden or burdened. I want you to think about things and move from kindergarten to the first grade. Or if you're in the fifth grade, move to the sixth. Or if you're in a senior, move to college. And if you're done with college, move on to your doctorate. But move upward. Don't stay where you're at. Now, we're justified by a lot of different things. But let's think about this. The subjects of atonement, reconciliation, and redemption answer this question. How a man's just with God. None of these are dependent upon man. Amen? Atonement, reconciliation, redemption, none of those things are dependent on man in terms of being reconciled to God. Now, it's God that justifies man. That's how a man is just with God. God does it. Now, it's the result of atonement, reconciliation, and redemption. This justifying is. And Jesus wrought that. He worked it out. He did the work. A sinner is just with God by these different ways of justification. We're justified by grace. Would y'all agree that all reconciliation of sinners back to God is by grace?
Amen.
Your justification or being declared just in the courts of divine justice are by grace. Now, it's also by blood. Something had to happen for you to be just before God. It was by grace. And Romans 3:24 says that being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, redemption causes you to be justified. It declares you as being just to who? To God. That He made you just before God. Now, that's Romans 3:24. Paul deals with this subject of justification so much. But he's not the only one. Romans 5:9 says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood." So we've got grace and blood. That's how justification happens. Justification by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans 8:30. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate." Who's He talking about? He's talking about God. God predestinated us. "Them He also called." So that same group that was predestinated was called. And He, all these things are here in the past tense. So He says, "And whom He called," that means God, "whom He called," that's the same group that He started with in the predestinated, "whom He predestined, destinated, them He called, and whom He called, He justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified." Now that's a big subject and worth 6 months of preaching. But I want you to realize that all these things are in the past tense, but I want you to think about who did the justifying. God did. God did. And later on in Romans 8, in that chapter, He says that it is God that justifieth. Who then can lay charge to any one of God's elect? They can't, because it's God that justifies. God's the one that does that justification. Now, we're also justified by the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 11 it says, "And such were some of you." He's talking about all those whoremongers and drunkards and revelers and all that Lot. Paul doesn't tell them, they would stroke their head and tell them, "Oh, you just good. You was born good. You were born good, and there's a little good in everybody." No, Paul didn't say that. He says, "You were that same of that same bunch because you were conceived in sin, and you were no different. You were the children of wrath, even as others." He says, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified." That means set apart. "But ye are justified." That means that those things are in the past tense. Washed, sanctified, justified. All in the past tense. That's why Paul said, "You used to be that, but you're not now. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So we're justified by the Spirit, aren't we? Wasn't Jesus Christ justified in the Spirit? Paul said he was. When he told Timothy, he says that Jesus was born into the world. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was justified in the Spirit. He was received up into glory. Paul said he was justified in the Spirit. How's that? Because he exhibited it. And the Spirit came down and lit upon him, lit upon his shoulder, lit upon him. The Spirit, like a dove, came down. And the heavens opened up, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God justified him as being his beloved Son because he declared him to be that. He always was that, but God justified it by sending the Spirit down upon him, and he justified it again when he opened up the windows of heaven and thundered his powerful voice as a witness to them. Now, we're justified in the Spirit too. When God puts His Spirit upon you, it justifies that you were always His. He just let you know about it, and it was a great witness and a testimony to others that God has set His love upon you. God did it. You didn't ask for it, because you were a child of wrath before it happened. You were the same as others. Same as the ungodly before God put His love upon you. Now, how do we know, though? Because there's a lot of different things about justification in here. And a lot of confusion happens because there's so many different things talked about in the Scriptures about this subject of justification. Because we're also justified by other things. You know, those are great. We love talking about the justification by grace and by blood, by the Spirit. We love talking about all that, don't we? But there's also some things called justification by our words. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." You know what condemnation is? It's the opposite of being justified. Being declared just is the opposite of being declared to be condemned. Y'all see this? These justified is a verdict that happens. Y'all get that? It's a declaration to people. Now, "For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We're justified by faith. So therefore, in Romans 3 and 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Are we justified by faith? Yes, we are. We're justified by works. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Paul asked that question as a rhetorical question. Of course he was justified by works when he did what God told him to do. But do y'all see the problem? Y'all see the problem? We've got being justified by blood and by grace and by the Spirit, but we've also got being justified by blood and by words and by faith and by works. That's a problem, isn't it? It's a problem to a vast majority of people because they apply the justification of works to being justified before God. And they put that as how a man can be just with God, but justification by works does not answer Job's question, how can a man be just with God? It answers question, but it don't answer that question. That question is answered by the grace, by the blood, and by the Spirit. How you going to fit these, though? This is what a lot of people... Because a lot of people see somebody. When I see somebody, and maybe you say that they hit a kid, or maybe you say somebody that they got drunk all the time, or whatever they did, and they put them in hell because they're not doing all these great things that they're doing. They think that they, by their works, they can be justified before God. And let's look at what Paul says about it in Romans. It'd be in Romans chapter 4. You know, Paul told Timothy, you've got to rightly divide this word of truth, because these things are all true. We are justified by faith. We are justified by works. We are justified by our words. Jesus said we were. We're also condemned by our words. Paul says... In chapter 4, Paul answers this question. None of these things, these works, faith, words, none of those things can justify. You know, James says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And he also says in a couple of verses later, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You know most of Christianity... Are y'all following me today?
Yeah.
Y'all know most of Christianity puts works as the litmus test as to whether you're a child of God or not. And they cite this... Says, you can't just say you have faith. You've got to have works to go with it in order to be just before God. And that's not true. Because Paul says, we're not justified by works. We're justified by faith. They're talking about two different things. Now, Paul makes this very clear. None of these things can make us just before God. Paul made this extremely clear in Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Your works will be a glorious thing for you, but you can't do like Job did and Job's friends told him to do and declare your works before God you will end up like Job did if you'll try. God told Job, gird up your loins now like a man and let's have a conversation. And he said, answer me. Do you want to have that kind of conversation with God? It may come to that for you. I hope it does. But you might get to the point where God asked you, where were you when I set the bounds of the ocean? Where were you when the angels sang in the morning of creation and I meted out the heavens with a span? Where were you when I made all these things? And then Job says, I'm going to put my hand over my mouth to keep myself from talking anymore because I can't declare anything to you. So we got a problem. Or I don't have a problem. I don't think you have a problem, but a lot of Christianity has a problem because they try to make you able to declare your works and declare yourself righteous in the sight of God by works. No man can be justified in the sight of God by their works. But your works do justify you. Not in God's eyes, but like Paul said here, according to the flesh. I'm going to break this down for you and make it simple. Being declared just, being rendered just, and exhibiting the qualities of being just. You can look at these in terms of courtrooms. You know, because a judge declares, he's the one that dispenses out justice, isn't he? He's the one that declares just, isn't he? There is a Supreme Court. No court is higher than the court of divine justice. We already talked about that last week, that in the court of divine justice, the Supreme Court, God's court, Jesus made you just because He atoned for you. He made reconciliation for you back to God. And He redeemed you by His blood. And that declares you just in that court. God declares you just on behalf of what Christ did in His eyes. In His court, you're declared just. Now, there are lower courts. And this is where most people put it. Most people put, they don't even think there's a divine court except for on the great white throne of judgment that happens at the last day. They think that's the only one that there is. They don't know that it's already been done. Now, how do you know that you've been declared just? How do you know? Well, the Spirit told you, of course. But I want you to know, what is the court? What convicts you? In what court are you convicted of the truth of a matter? Or that you haven't measured up? What court is that? That's the court of your conscience. Now I want you to know that you were justified in the eyes of God by blood and grace and the Spirit. And you're justified in the court of your own conscience by being justified by faith. God gives that to you in the new birth. And when God gives that to you and you act on it, that doesn't condemn you. It justifies you by your work, by your faith. Y'all see that? Y'all see that your conscience would declare you just when you have that. Your conscience won't condemn you about it. Do you know how many people are condemned that condemn themselves because they're not trusting in Christ by faith? They may even have it, but they're not attributing it to Him. That gives you a clean conscience when you trust in Christ. You're no longer condemned in your conscience about that matter. Now, this makes it clear to you. It doesn't make it clear to God. God already knows whether Christ justified you or not. You don't have to prove it to God, but you do need to prove it to yourself. But that's not the only court, that's not the lowest court of judgment. There's another lower court that doesn't matter. I don't mean it doesn't matter. It's not as important as the one in your conscience, and it is the court of public opinion. And this is where most everybody puts the eternal court, is in the court of a public opinion. And it shouldn't be that way, because that's the lowest court. Certainly, I mean, that'd be like, you know, the court in Lexington as opposed to the Supreme Court. People think that the court in Lexington is all it. People think the court of public opinion is the only thing that matters. In terms of whether determining, because you know people judge you all every day, don't they? They judge you every day. We are justified in the court of public opinion by our works. James and Paul were not at variance on justification. They were right exactly in line. Paul says man is not justified by works. And James said that a man is not justified by faith only. That he's justified by works. And Paul said man is not justified by works. They're not inconsistent with one another. Although I can see where people that are intellectually laden and don't understand the Scriptures might have a problem. Because they don't understand these different courts of adjudicator or justice where judgment happens. Judgment happens in the court of public opinion every day. I make judgments about people by their actions. And people judge you by yours. Now, this in James, I want to move over there. James chapter 2. Because we need to deal with this a little bit. Because this is talking about the court of public opinion. My brethren, he starts out in verse 1, chapter 2 of James. My brethren, have not, means don't have it. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Oh, I'm starting way too early. But that's true too. Don't have it with respect to persons. And some people will respect a person's person over their faith, won't they? Now, let's go on down to, verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. That means it's inactive. It ain't moving. It's dead. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Who's he showing it to? He's not showing it to God. He's showing it to somebody else. God knows whether he justified you or not. He's talking about, you can't just give me lip service and tell me that you love God. You need to show me that you love God by the things that you do. That's what James is talking about. And he keeps on going. He says, thou believest that there is one God. That's great. Thou doest well. He says, but the devils also believe and tremble. You can't just say that, I believe in the Lord. A lot of people believe in the Lord, but they don't act like they believe in the Lord. And therefore, they're not justified in the eyes of men because of what they do that's not consistent with what they say. If you say you believe in the Lord, act like it. If you say you believe in the Lord, let your words prove it. If you say you believe in the Lord, let your works prove it. If you say you believe in the Lord, you need to let your faith prove it. Don't just tell me. I'm not concerned about whether God justified you or not. God knows it. I'm concerned about where you are in your conscience. I'm concerned about where, if you do have part in the atonement and the reconciliation and the redemption of Christ, I want to know that you know it. And I want to know that you know it by showing it to me. That's what I want. And that's what James wanted. I want you to show it to me. Now, he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought, that means or worked, with his works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete? You see, faith without works is incomplete because having faith without works is inconsistent with each other. It's like wanting an apple, craving an apple, but picking up an orange. It's like saying I need to visit that person and not do it. It's like saying I need to pray more and not do it. It means it's knowing that you need to love the brethren and not do it. It means you love the church and not come. That's what faith without works is. It's saying and not doing. It's saying I need to support the ministry, I need to support the church, and not do it. You know, a lot of people like the idea of working out. They like the idea of, it's New Year. Everybody loves New Year, don't they? Until the second day comes. And they make resolutions and they say, I'm going to get exercise, I'm going to exercise. And people love the idea of exercise. They know they need to exercise. They'll even go so far as to buy exercise shoes, exercise workout pants, exercise bras, exercise headbands. They'll buy them a Fitbit for their arm or Apple, whatever they use. You know, I don't have one. And I don't need one. And they'll do all this stuff, and guess what? They got all this stuff, and they won't work out. Same exact thing happens to us with our faith. God gave it to us, and we won't use it. And we don't justify ourselves in the court of public opinion, and a lot of times our own conscience condemns us because of it. Faith and works work in conjunction together with one another. But I want you to know this situation. When you've been declared just in God's holy court of divine justice, and it's been satisfied, that's a great witness and a great declaration that you've been declared just, isn't it? And then when faith comes, when you're born of the Spirit, and that faith comes, and it is attributed to the one who made the reconciliation for you, and you have faith in Jesus Christ as having been the one that brought salvation to you, and that court declares you in your mind that you're a child of the King. You know, Paul says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. When you have that declaration and that faith is attributed to the right place, your conscience is eased, and that courtroom declares you as just. It declares you as just consistently with what God's declaration of your justness was. Do y'all get that? It's consistent with both of them. But then, let's think about this. You've got two courtrooms now that are declaring you just, and the one that really matters ultimately is God's court. There's a lot of people that think they got work, they don't understand the Bible like they ought to, and they think that they can mix the works and stuff in there to be just in God. That doesn't overrule God's justice. You understand? God's declaration. They're confused. But I want you to know that when God has declared you just in the holy court, and the court of your conscience is eased because you have trusted and put your faith in Jesus Christ, because He gave it to you in the first place, when you recognize that, and when you attribute that, and declare that God is just, Paul said, to declare this, I say that God is just and a justifier of him that trusteth in Jesus. And then when you get that lower court, when you get that declaration, and you have all three courts consistent with one another, and your work is now added to your faith, there is a threefold cord that's not easily broken. Y'all understand that? You got three courts that have declared you just now. And then Paul says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that aren't doing the faith part, are they? They're not doing the works part, are they? They haven't put their faith and trust in God. And they have their conscience condemns them for it. They're not going to be declared condemned when they get to glory if they're God's child. But they're sure not enjoying it right now. And I'm not going to give folks like that a lot of comfort. God didn't tell me to just tell them it was all right. I'm like James. Your faith is dead without works. That doesn't mean God took it back. That means that you're not using it. And what I want is for you to assure your hearts before Him when you are declared just in all three of these courts. That's what it does for you. It assures your hearts before Him. You're not making it sure to God, you understand? You're making it sure to you. And Paul put it another way. That was John that put it that way. Paul put it another way. He says, told Timothy to give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, are you making your calling and election sure to God? Let's think about that. He's the one that called you. He's the one that elected you. You're not acquainting God with what He thought about in the first place. But what you are doing is you're making that calling that He called you with and your election sure to you when you do that. When you have that faith and declare you declare yourself as a child of God when you have that faith in Christ. When you attribute it in the right spot, it declares that you are His child. And when you act on that and do works consistent with it, you declare to everybody else that He's my King and I'm His subject, and that He's mine and I'm His. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's make our calling and election sure. Let's assure our hearts before Him or in His eyes and in everybody else's eyes. Let's do that. Let's be a blessing to someone this week. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's put our works where our faith is. That's all I got. May God bless you. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Help us to be a blessing to someone every day. Pray for it. Pray that God would give you opportunities to prove to them that you are God's child and you act consistently with His house. May God bless you.